This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا
الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إلها واحدا أحدا صمدا لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وأشهد أن نبينا وعظيمنا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وحبيبه اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد يقول جل جلاله في محكم كتابه على لسان شيخ مدين يكلم موسى قال إني أريد أن أنكحك إحدى بنتي هاتين على أن تأجرني ثمانية حجج فإن أتممت عشرا فمن عندك وما أريد أن أشق عليك ستجدني إن شاء الله من الصالحين قال ذلك بيني وبينك أيما الأجلين قضيت فلا عدوان علي والله على ما نقول وكيل فلما قضى موسى الأجل وسار بأهله آنس من جانب الطور نارا. In this story in the Quran where Musa alayhi salam leaves Egypt and he goes to Midian, and we don't know for sure if he actually married the daughter of Shu'aib. We know that he married the daughter of a wise person of Midian, someone who was of high status in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But some narrations say it's Shu'aib, some narrations say it doesn't. It isn't. It doesn't matter that much. But the story is that Musa alayhi salam was asked as mahr to stay for 8 years or 10. And he ended up staying for 10 years. And that's really why I'm telling you this verse. It's 10 years. The concept of a decade. It's what Musa alayhi salam spent there and then went back. And that's on his way back that he was given revelation. When the Sahaba talk about the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam's life, they don't really go down into the details that we do. They say he spent 10 years in Mecca, 10 years in Medina, that was it. And that's what Anas alayhi radiallahu anhu says, and that's what Ali Nabi Talib also says. That basically was 10 and 10. The concept of a decade is meaningful. And the reason that I'm bringing this up, even though the series that I'm going to be sharing with you over the summer is going to be contemporary issues, this week specifically I'm taking a break and to talk about something a little bit different. I landed in London almost 10 years to the day. 10 years ago to the day. Like this was, it was almost exactly today, maybe two days from today, in middle of July. It was Ramadan at the time, and I continued Taraweeh with my parents in their basement and over at Chapman Court. And I'm not here to talk to you about what happened before that. No, I'm here today to share with you 10 points that I reflected upon for these 10 years that I've been here. Not talk about the past, but to talk about the current time, the present and the future, inshallah. And living in a place for a decade, you speak to a lot of people. You witness a lot of events. You go through a lot of experiences, ups and downs, and different occurrences, and you pick up some experience and some wisdom. And I spent the last maybe 3 or 4 months reflecting on these 10 years of my life. And I came up with 10 points that I want to share with you of what I think may be helpful. This is not on an institutional level. Like, I'm not here to share my experiences with the organization, so don't worry. I'm not here to talk about institutions and mistakes and no. These are just 10 points on an individual level that I want to share with you that I think may be helpful, especially for my younger brothers and sisters. Coming here was very difficult for me. It's like someone, when I landed, someone pressed the reset button on my life, just reset. And you came here and I had nothing of what I had. My life was a shell of what it was before on so many levels. Like, I'd lost almost everything that I had built. And you can easily say, well, you're only 28. What could you have built by then? No, I had actually put in a lot of time and effort, and I was in a position where I was happy. Then I had fulfillment. And then he came here, and there was someone pressed the reset button. I had to go back and had to figure everything out all over again. And over these 10 years doing that, I learned a lot. And I think it's maybe worthy of just sharing with you some of the points that I learned. So I'm going to go through 10 points quickly for you. And yani, take from them what you will. It's a little bit of an unorthodox Jum'ah khutbah, I'll give you that much. But I feel like there may be some benefit in it. Number one, stay with Allah. Stay with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for better or for worse, whether it's working out for you or not, whether you're on the top of the hill or you're in the gutter, stay with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. You'll never be lonely if you're with Allah. The intimacy of the relationship that the creation has with their creator is unparalleled. The closest thing that we have to it is a child with their parent or a parent with their child. And that's really, in my understanding, why we have children, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us an example of an intimate relationship to understand that what I have with you is much more important. So stay with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, regardless of what's happening to you in your life, whether you're happy or miserable, whether things are working out for you the way you planned out or whether they are not. It should not make a difference with you. You stay with Allah. He never left you to begin with. He never left you. It's only us that leave Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even when we leave Him, He continues to wait for us to come back. So stay with Allah. There's nowhere else to go. Where are you going to go? You can't run away from Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So run back to Him. So as you go through your life, at your worst moments and at your best moments, regardless of what's happening, stay with Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's whom you have. You have no one else. And life is designed to beat that into you, to make you understand that there is no one else. Everything is a variable. Everything comes and goes. Everything that you thought would never change will change. Everyone that you thought would be with you will leave you. What you will have at the end is Allah. But the thing is, you always had Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the day you were born, before you were born. And then when you started your life, when you went through it at the last moment, He's the only one there subhanahu wa ta'ala all times. So stay with Allah. And if you do that, you can never go wrong. You'll never go wrong by being with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if you're sinning, if you're making mistakes, if you end up drifting and getting distracted and going far away, come back to Him. There's nowhere else to go. Stay with Allah. Number two, all that is expected of you in life, all that is expected of you within this life, is to do the best you can with the hand that you're carrying at any given moment. Hands change all the time. You're dealt a different set of cards every minute. Every couple of minutes, you have something different to deal with. Reality is always changing. All that is expected of you is to do the best you can with what you've got at that moment. Don't waste time wondering, had you done something differently, would you have a different hand right now? Because the answer is probably yes, but there's no point in doing that. There's no point at wondering, had I done this earlier, would I be in this situation? That doesn't help you very much. Aside from learning a lesson, it doesn't help you to dwell on that too much. Just look at your reality at this moment. What do I have right now? What am I staring at right now? Do the best you can with what you've got. Just do that. And if you keep on, that is the secret to life. There's nothing more to life than that. Wallahi, there's nothing beyond that sentence to this life that we are living. Because every moment you have a reality, what's the best you can do with this reality? Do that. And then maybe a few moments later, you're hit with another reality, a huge change in that reality. Don't waste time feeling bad or feeling sad or feeling overly joyous and forgetting, being distracted by it. Just make sure you do the best you can with what you're given, because that's going to continuously change in your life. I work in oncology. I see people. I sit with someone who has just dealt a very upsetting hand. And it happened really quickly. It wasn't a slow process. One day morning, they had a hand, and then by the evening, they were given a completely different set of cards. All you can do is just the best. What's the best you can do? Do that. This is your reality. You can't dwell on what could have been and why this. No, forget about that. That's a waste of your time. Do what you can do right now. And if you do that in life, you're guaranteed to achieve success to a certain degree, and you're guaranteed to be able to keep moving on, and you won't get caught back up in the past, and you won't lose your focus. If you can just do the best you can with the hand that you're given, you're not expected to do anything more by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number three, in order for you to be fulfilled in life, ensure you have two things with you. Ensure that you have purpose and that you have companionship. Ensure that you have purpose and companionship, and you will be fulfilled. And if you lose one of them, then you will feel anxious and depressed and upset. And life will, and you may be the richest person financially in the world, and something will be missing if you miss one of those two things. Why? Because that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Adam. He gave him purpose and he gave him a companion. That's how he started his life. Here, Adam, come here. You are Khalifa. That's your purpose, and here's your spouse. Here's that's all he needed, alayhi salam. And that's all we need. We need good companionship and purpose. Companionship, I'll talk about in another one. But purpose is very important. You have to have purpose. Why are you alive? What is the end product of your existence? What do you have to show for at the end of this life? You're going to live this life. What are you going to do with it? What's the point of it? What's the point of your existence? Or what's the point of mine? If you don't know exactly why you're alive, what you're going to do with your life, and what you're going to actually achieve with it, then yes, there's something going to be fundamentally missing on the inside. And you're going to feel it. Oh, you're going to feel it. It's going to eat away at you like a fungus. It will ruin you because you're lacking that basic understanding of why you're here. Fulfillment comes from knowing your purpose. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it to you. He explained to you exactly who you were and what you're here for and where you're going. So make sure that's crystal clear to you and make sure you have good companionship. Number four, if you know that you're doing the right thing and you have the right tools for it, then be relentless. Be relentless. Have more grit than anyone has ever had in the history of the human race. If you know that you're doing the right thing and you have the proper tools to achieve it, be relentless. Every time you fail, it's a building brick that you will use to build your empire. Every time you fall, you'll take a lesson from that so you don't do it again and you continue moving forward. Be relentless. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Out of all of his attributes, which are many, and all of the beautiful aspects of his character, this is the one that I continue to stand in the shrine of in my life. He was relentless. You could not stop him. And people could not understand why. Like the mushrikeen could not understand why. How is it that you don't give up? Will you not give up? Will you not stay down? He would never stay down. That's the fighter that never loses. The fighter that every time you knock him down, he gets up again. You're like, just stay down, ya akhi. Just stay down. I'm winning. No, get up again. You don't lose until you stay down. That's what losing is staying down. Even if you get up and you're beaten to a pulp again and you fall down again, get up again. Be relentless if you know that you're doing the right thing. Just make sure you know you're doing the right thing. Just make sure that you have around you those who you can consult with. Don't be ashamed of asking for help and asking for advice. Am I doing the right thing? Do I have the tools to do the right thing here? And if the answer is yes, then be relentless. You will make it eventually. Or you'll achieve a degree of success that you'll be happy with at the end, even if you don't achieve what you actually want. But you'll have enough to show for the time that you spent. Be relentless if you know that you're doing the right thing and you have the tools to achieve it. Number 5. Your time is your currency. That's your capital. Everything else is an illusion. It's a shadow on the wall. It's meaningless. Everything else has no value to it. Everything else comes in. What you have, your currency, is your time. You are just time. That's what you are. You're just time. You're here for a certain amount of it, and then that's it. That's what you will never be able to get back. Once it's gone, it's gone. Once this hour is over, there's no way for us to go back and get that again. You will lose money and make money. You will lose friends and make friends. You will live in places and then you'll live in other places. And then all that will continue to go and come in life. But time, the moment it's gone, it'll never come back. That's your currency. Manage it well. Organize it. Utilize it appropriately. Don't spend it where it doesn't deserve to be spent. Spend it where it deserves to be spent, with those whom deserve to be have it spent with them. Doing something that is meaningful to you, because that's all you've got. Be picky with your time. Use it wisely. Use it appropriately. Manage it. Know how you're doing. The biggest problem I find with this younger generation, they have no sense of time management. No sense of time management. They can't do anything. They carry one watermelon. Give them a second one, they fall straight on their face again. They have no sense of time managing. You have to manage your time. That's what you are. You, as Hassan al-Basri called, innama anta زمانٌ فإذا ذهب بعض الزمان ذهب بعضك ويوشك إذا ذهب البعض أن يذهب الكل. So you're just time. Every moment that leaves, a piece of you leaves with it. And as pieces of you leave with the time, very soon nothing will be left of you. You're just time. Learn to manage your time well. And if you don't know how, then seek help so you can manage your time, so that you're using it for what you want to do and not for what others want you to do. أخواني وأخواتي اليوم وبعد مضي عقد من الزمان على مكثي في هذا البلد ولا لم أولد هنا ولدت في تورونتو ثم ساقتني الأقدار إلى الشرق الأوسط في السعودية وفي سوريا في بلدي وعدت إلى هنا بالضبط منذ 10 سنوات تماما على وجه الدقة عدت إلى نزلت في لندن في منتصف تموز وكانت الدنيا رمضان وأشارككم اليوم 10 نقاط تدبرتها وتأملتها خلال مكثي في هذا البلد في هذه السنوات 10 وهي مصممة للشخص وليست للمنظمات ولا للمؤسسات وليست للشكوى وإنما هي أفكار تأملتها في نفسي قضايا قمت بها بأسلوب صحيح وأخطاء وقعت فيها وأحب أن أشارككم بعض هذه الأفكار فالفكرة الأولى إخواني ابقى مع الله كن مع الله حيثما كنت كيفما كنت يا أخي مهما حصل معك أينما ساقك الله سبحانه وتعالى في هذه الدنيا أينما حطت بك الرحال كن مع الله يا عيني سعيد ولا تعيس فوق ولا تحت تنجز ما تفرق كن مع الله حتى لو وجدت نفسك بعيد عن الله ارجع إلى الله ابقى مع الله ويا أخي ما لك إلا الله ليس لنا إلا الله الكل يدبر عنك والله الكل يدبر عنك والله ما يبقى أحد والله الدنيا كلها تذهب عنك ما يبقى لك في حياتك ثابت واحد إطلاقا إلا الله الذي كان معك قبل أن تولد وهو معك يوم ولدت وهو معك خلال حياتك وهو الذي يبقى معك عند وفاتك ليس لك إلا هو تذهب إلى من؟ حتى لو عصيت حتى لو وقعت في الفواحش والكبائر عد إلى الله يا أخي ليس لك إلا هو كن معه سبحانه وتعالى والله لا تخطئ لا يمكن أن تقع لا يمكن أن تكون مخطئا إذا كنت مع الله كن معه هو دائما معك لا تشتكي من ظروفك اشتكي إليه لا تشتكي إلى الناس الناس ما تحب تسمعك أصلا الناس لا يريدون سماع شكوانا لكن الله سبحانه وتعالى يدعوك أن تشكو إليه يقول لك تعال إليه اشكو إليه أسمعك لأن العلاقة بين المخلوق والخالق علاقة ليس لها مثيل لا مثيل للعلاقة بين الخالق والمخلوق. أقرب الشيء عندنا بين الأب وابنه والأم وابنتها. والله في ظني أننا ما أعطينا الولد إلا ليرينا سبحانه وتعالى عمق العلاقة بيننا وبينه. لا، دعوا لله ولدا، حاشا له أن يكون له ولد، لا حاجة له للولد إذ عنده مخلوقات، عنده مخلوق. لا 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 لا، علاقة أعظم بكثير من علاقة الولد بابنه، الرجل بابنه، علاقة الخالق بمخلوقه، فكن مع الله. النقطة الثانية، ليس مطلوبا منك في أي لحظة من لحظات حياتك إلا أن تتعامل مع الواقع الذي أنت فيه بما استطعت، بكامل استطاعتك. في كل لحظة يتغير الواقع من حولك، انظر إليه، حلله، ثم افعل ما استطعت. لا تيأس على ما فات، لا تفرح بما أوتيت، لا تقضي الوقت تتندم وتتحسر على أمور فاتتك أو خسرتها، وإنما انظر إلى واقعك وتعامل معه بأفضل ما عندك. وإذا عملت هذا، والله قد فككت شفرة الحياة، أنت فككت شفرة الحياة إذا استطعت أن تقوم بهذا العمل البسيط. حلل الواقع، تعامل معه بأحسن ما عندك، وافعل هذا في كل لحظة، تكون بأمان. النقطة الثالثة، إذا أردت أن تشعر بالاطمئنان، إذا أردت أن تكون حياتك حياة طيبة، فاجعل فيها أمرين، اجعل فيها هدفا وغاية، اعرف لماذا أنت موجود، خلقك الله لأي غاية، فاعرف غايتك واعرف هدفك، واجعل معك صحبة صالحة، اجعل معك صحبة صالحة. فإذا كان عندك هذين الأمران، عشت حياة مطمئنة، ولو كنت فقيرة، ولو كنت مريضة، ولو كنت مغتربة، إذا كانت عندك غاية وهدف، وعندك في حياتك من يشاركونك هذا الفكر وصحبة صالحة، تحيا باطمئنان. النقطة الرابعة، إذا عرفت أنك تقوم بالعمل الصحيح، إذا عرفت الحق، إذا أراك الله الحق وفي يدك أدوات تحصين هذا الحق وتحصيل هذا الحق، فلا تتوقف أبدا، لا تنقطع عن العمل من أجل هذا الحق الذي أردته وعرفته، مهما قيل لك ومهما حصل بك ومهما نزل، التزم الباب حتى يفتح لك، وكلما سقطت قم مرة أخرى، وكلما وقعت عد وحاول، ولا تيأس أبدا. لا ييأس من روح الله إلا القوم الكافرون، لا يقنط من رحمة ربه إلا الضالون. ومن صفات النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم جميعها الجميلة هذه، والله أعظمها عندي هذا الثبات، أنه أبدا ما يأس. أما النقطة الخامسة، رأس مالك وقتك، رأس مالك وقتك، فاستخدمه بحكمة، واستخدمه بدقة. كلما مضت دقيقة مضى منك شيء لا يعود إلى يوم القيامة. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم، فاستغفروه يغفر لكم، يا فوز المستغفرين، استغفر الله. الحمد لله وحده، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على من لا نبي بعده، وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اتبع نهجه ووفى عهده. Number six, learn to manage your relationships. The most difficult thing you will manage in your life are your relationships. Learn to bring people closer and to take steps away from people as you go along based on how they help you achieve your goals. Don't hate anybody, and there's no need to cut people off unless there is clear abuse in any given relationship. Just learn to draw yourself closer to those who are helping you be closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and learn to take a step back from those who are wasting your time. Do it politely and appropriately and kindly, but make sure that you learn to manage your relationships, because that's really the most important thing that you've got. The secret of being happy in this life is having good functional relationships. If you run into someone in this world that is like-minded, if you have a friend that is like-minded, that believes in that which you believe in, that works towards that which you work towards, that is a gem. Never give up that person ever. Ever. Never give that person up. Wallahi, stay in a... Give up a job opportunity if you have people around you who are like-minded, who support you in what you are doing, who stand by you, who allow you to be better, who bring you closer to Allah. Put up with anything, because that is so rare and so valuable and so important. Make sure you surround yourself with people like that. Be picky when it comes to friends. Be picky. It's okay. Don't be picky about what car you got and what house you buy. Forget about all that. Forget about it. Wallahi, it means nothing. Wallahi, it means nothing. No one cares. It's just luxuries and leisures that don't do anything for you. But people, oh my God, people, that is what will make you happy on the Day of Judgment, or it'll make you extremely, extremely regretful. Surround yourself with those who are like-minded and take steps away from those who aren't, and learn to manage your relationships. Number 7, people, listen to this. People don't think about you or care about you a fraction of what you think they do. People do not spend time thinking about you or caring about what you do a fraction of what you think they do. So don't be too obsessed about people's opinions, because everyone's very self-centered and no one really cares. People only think about you for the amount of time that is going to serve them. So why waste too much time about it? Why spend time thinking about what it doesn't matter? Social constructs exist for a reason. They're important. Society has certain opinions that allow us to stay within certain boundaries so that we can serve that community and that we can be good people. That's fine. Social constructs are very important. I'm not saying to get rid of them. But don't waste your time worrying about what someone else said, what someone else thinks of who you are. Don't let that affect your self-value. Don't let that affect your self-image. Don't derive your value of what people think about you. Do what you believe is correct. Consult and ask for help and make sure you have clarity on what you're doing. Don't go through life on your own. But don't worry about what people think, because they don't. Because they don't. You'll find out at the end that no one really cared. That if you just did what you thought was the right thing at the time, no one would really have cared. They would have talked about it for a week, and then they get bored of it and they move on, and it doesn't matter anymore. And you would have at least done what you believed in, and you were at least true to yourself. Be true to yourself. And don't worry about what people think, because they don't really think. Think about yourself. How much time do you spend thinking about other people? How much time do you spend thinking about someone else and what they did? What? A moment? A second? Maybe a couple of seconds in a given setting? That's it. We don't have time. We're focused on our lives, and people are too. So don't let that worry you too much. Number 8, accept death. The earlier, the better. The earlier you accept the fact that you are going to die, the earlier you accept your mortality, the better that is for you. This is the fact of life. We're all heading towards a moment where we're going to sit there knowing that there's no time left for us. We're all heading, isn't that interesting? We're all heading towards that. Not one person exempted from it, not one. Not one person here can say, no, I won't. We're all heading to that moment. We're all going to a time where there's no more time left, where that's it. You're going to take your last breath. We're all heading towards it. Accept it. Make peace with it. It's not depressing. It's not saddening. Wallahi, it's the opposite. Wallahi, it's empowering. Because when you accept death, you actually accept. You don't lie to yourself and act like, no, I'm going to be here forever, and distract yourself from that fact and just keep on going through life. When you accept it and you embrace the fact that you die, life becomes so much more valuable. The sun, wallahi, shines brighter. The sky is bluer. Every moment is a blessing. It's beautiful. Every person you meet is an opportunity to get to know someone that you don't know, to benefit from something that you don't have access to. Everything about life becomes much more meaningful, much more profound when you accept the fact that you're going to die. And you stop wasting time worrying about things that don't matter, because you know that very soon this story will end. It has ended for everyone who's ever lived, and it's going to end for everyone who ever will live. And it's going to end for you and me. And one day, you and I will be nothing more than a memory. Not even a memory. Wallahi, not even a memory. How many of you remember their great-grandfathers? How many times a day do you think of these people? That was a person. He's the reason you're here. Now, he would have loved you a lot. You don't think of him. It's not your fault. I'm not saying you should. It's just life. We all die. We're going to die. Accept it. Accept it. Teach your children to accept it. Don't run away from a reality that there's no way around. Maybe you can distract yourself from realities that don't necessarily have to happen to you. I'm okay with that. I'm okay. I don't think it's great, but I'm okay with it. But a reality that there's no way to get around, accept it, embrace it. It'll make your life better. Number 9. If you're confused or lost, it's okay. If you're frustrated and uncertain of the future, if you're scared, if you're at a moment where you feel despair, you feel that nothing's going to work for you and everything is going wrong, it's okay. It happens to everybody. We're all struggling. We're all just trying to make things work out for ourselves, and we're all lost, and we're all frustrated. And that is the universal fact and reality about all of us. No one has it all figured out. Definitely not the person speaking to you. No one does. We're all just as lost, just as scared, and just as confused as the next person, and that's okay. It's a part of being alive. A part of being alive is having that sadness, is having that fear, is having that ambiguity, is being confused and uncertain. It's okay. It's okay, you're not alone. Don't struggle like that alone. Don't feel like there's no one else there out there like that. Everyone is like that. It's okay. Seek out those who will understand you as you go through that and help you on your way. And if you make mistakes and you're not figuring it out, that's all right too, because that's a part of being alive. And there's no way around that piece. There's no way around being that way, because that's how we are. That's why we look up to people. That's why we take on role models. That's because people who did it and did it well. Even when they were doing it, they were scared too. You don't think Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was scared. You don't think he was scared when he ran down the mountain the first time Jibreel came to him. You don't think he was afraid before Badr when he stood there making dua until the Sahaba felt bad for him. You don't think he was scared when he couldn't sleep during the time of Al-Ahzab. You don't think he was, of course he was. He was human. It's okay to be confused. It's okay to be uncertain. It's okay. It's okay. You're not expected to be anything else. We can't hold ourselves to standards that are impossible. We can't make up stuff. At the same time, we can't be weak. We can't allow ourselves to be weak. It's not okay to accept weakness, but it's okay to understand the reality of who we are. We are fragile beings, and we're going to be uncertain, and we're going to be confused and lost. And that's all right. Embrace it. Accept it. It's a part of being around. And then be decisive. And make decisions and move forward. And that's all this is about. Number 10. The most valuable commodity that you possess is love. That's the most valuable product you have. That's what you should be very wise in, how you give and who you give and when you give. Love. Love is not your wealth. I know we've become people who just want your money. I know we make it seem that's the most important thing you can give, but it's really not. The most valuable thing you can give is your love. Oh, there's nothing. That currency is so, that's so, it's just so different. Be careful who you offer it to. Be careful who you hold it back from. Be careful who you hold your love from. Love with your wholeheartedly those who deserve your love. Your parents and your siblings and your spouse and your children. And your close friends, love them. Love them before you lose the opportunity to love them. Love them before you wish you did. Love them before there's no way that you can ever show it appropriately the way you knew you should have. Right now you have this very valuable part of you, who you are, which is that love that you have on the inside. That emotion, that passion, that is something that is the secret of all of this. Is what sets us apart from so many other creatures. It's that love. We have it. Use it. Use it wisely. If you offer it to those who don't want it and don't care for it, you burn yourself. If you hold it back from those who you should be giving it to, you hurt yourself too. And then it fizzles away on the inside, where it could be much more. Love. Make sure that you understand what it means. Don't confuse love with lust and emotional entertainment and chemistry and all that other garbage that means nothing. I'm talking about love. Actual love. Where you care for someone deeply. Where it's not that you just care about their life now in dunya. You care about their akhirah as well. You're worried that they're not going to be there. You're worried about their choices, about where they're going with their lives. That piece, that's love. That's what love is, when you think of someone and you hope that they do well. And you try to figure out, how can I help them do well? And if I'm not helping them, it bothers you. That's love. Where you wish, you hope for someone to have more than what you have. To be happy. That is what you've got. That is so valuable. Don't let Shaitan take that away, because he will. He hates it. He hates it, so he takes it away. He takes it away. He makes you jealous. He makes you hateful. He makes you arrogant, because that's, all of those are just opposites of love. That's what they are. They always say, what is the opposite of arrogance and vanity and jealousy? And each one has a word. No, they're opposite of love. That's what they're opposite of. They take away your ability to love someone and to love those around you the way you should and the way you can. That's what he was, alayhi salatu wasalam, this big sobbing heart. This big sobbing heart that was filled with love, and he loved people around him, and he showed them that love through his compassion and through his mercy and through his perseverance, and he made sure he paid with his ego if he had to get someone to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the love. That's the love that we need. That's the love we can offer. لم يبقى عندي وقت حتى أترجم جميع ما قلت، فسألخصه لكم سريعا باللغة العربية. النقطة السادسة أخواني وأخواتي، تعلم أن تعلم كيف تسوق وتعالج علاقاتك. قضية العلاقات مهمة جدا، أن تختار من بجانبك، أن تبتعد عن من يؤذيك في دينك وفي عرضك وفي عقلك وفي علمك وفي أخلاقك، وأن تقترب من أولئك الذين ينفعونك. والله إذا وجدت امرأ صالحا يعرفك على الله ويقربك إلى الله وهو مثلك في الفكر يمشي معك هذا الطريق الموحش، لا تتخلى عنه أبدا مهما أخطأ ومهما وقع في مهما أتعب. هذا والله ما ليس ثمة في الدنيا شيء أعظم ولا أثمن من أن تجد أخا لك في الله يمشي معك، وأختا لك في الله تمشي معك هذا الطريق. نقطة السابعة، البشر لا يفكرون فيك كثيرا، الناس لا يكترثون بأحوالك. نظن أننا يعني الكل يفكر فينا وسمعتنا، والله ما أحد سائل عن حدا، والله ما أحد أصلا ما أحد فاضل أحدا. تظن أن الناس يكترثون بنا، انظر إلى نفسك، كم تقضي من الوقت في يومك تفكر في الناس؟ والله ربما ثواني، ما أحد عنده وقت. الكل ملتزم نفسه، الكل يهتم بذاته. فيا أخي الكريم ويا أختي الكريمة، إذا عرفتم الحق فالتزموه. قال من قال، كره من كره، رضي من رضي، وقف معك من وقف، وأدبر عنك من أدبر. لا تكترث لهم. المجتمعات نعم لها أمر بالمعروف ونهي عن المنكر، وهذا العيب، وهذه الألفاظ مهمة حتى تضبط سلوك البشر، لكن لا تضيع وقتك تقلق على ما يقول فلان وعلى ما تقول فلانة، ولا تترك هذا الأمر يؤثر في نفسيتك وفي قيمتك كشخص. النقطة الثامنة، تقبل الموت. اللهم أحسن ختامنا يا أرحم الراحمين. تقبل الموت، كلما أسرعت في فعل هذا كان خيرا لك، كلما قبلت أنك تموت قريبا كلما تحسنت حياتك. والله هذا لا يدعو إلى الاكتئاب ولا إلى الغضب ولا إلى الحزن، وإنما يجعلك تثمن هذه الحياة، ترى جمالها. والله الإنسان لا يستطيع أن يتذوق هذا الجمال المحيط به، جمال هذه الدنيا بما فيها، إلا إذا عرف يقينا أنه قريبا نازل في قبره. النقطة التاسعة، إذا كنت خائفا وتائها وضائعا وبعيدا وغير متأكد من أمرك فلا بأس عليك، الكل كذلك يا أخواني، الكل ضائع، الكل تائه، هذا هو ديدننا كبشر، كلنا هكذا، الكل يحاول أن يحقق شيئا لنفسه. لا تظن أن ثمة في الحياة أشخاصا قد عرفوا، والله قلة، المجمل الغالب الأعم فينا أشخاص نحاول أن نحقق بعض الأمور في حياتنا، لكننا جميعا خائفون، جميعا قلقون على المستقبل، لا ندرك تماما إذا كنا نفعل الحق والصواب أو كنا وقعنا في الخطأ. لا بأس عليك إذا شعرت هذا الشعور، إذا وقعت في ذلك أنك تائه وأنك ضائع فلا بأس، الكل كذلك، الكل هكذا. فانظر إلى من حولك يعينوك ويساعدوك، ولا تحمل نفسك ما لا طاقة لك به، فالله لم يحملك. أما النقطة العاشرة، فتعلم الحب. الحب، لا أتحدث هنا عن الشهوة، لا أتحدث هنا عن الحب، عن المحبة. أعظم ما تملك في هذه الحياة هو الحب الذي في قلبك، لا تحبسه عن من يستحقه، ولا تعطه من لا يثمنه، لا تحبسه عن من يستحقه في حياتك. هذا الحب، أبواك وإخوتك وأرحامك وزوجك وأولادك، وقبل ذلك كله أحب الله وأحب رسوله وأحب دينه. هذا الحب أعظم شيء تملكه، والله لا المال ولا الجاه ولا الحب، هذا الشعور الذي يميزك عن باقي المخلوقات أعطاكه الله، فاستخدمه بحكمة ولا تعطه من لا يثمنه. That is what I have to share with you for today. I have a habit of making plans for 10 years, coming at a point and saying 10 years from now what I was going to do. When I landed on the way here, I started to think, okay, what will I be into 2023? Let me tell you that not one of the things I planned happened. Not one of them. Wallahi, none. And it's okay. It's okay. It's totally okay. It's totally fine. Plan things out, work hard towards your goals, and then accept that you're going to be dealt a very different hand at the end. It's okay. That's totally fine. You're not a failure if that happens. It's fine. But you learn a lot. I ask you, if you're young in your 20s, do that. Put a plan for 2030, for example. Just do it. Write down on a paper, what do you hope to be? Who are you going to be? What skills will you have? How much knowledge? What will you achieve by then? And then work hard, and then meet me in 7-10 years and tell me if you got any of them done. You probably won't, but it's okay. It's how life works. And all we're expected to do is just the best we can. I hope that was of benefit to you. وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَنَا بِأَمْرٍ عَظِيمٍ فَقَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد وارض اللهم عن الأربعة الخلفاء السادة الحنفاء أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وارض اللهم عن أزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وعن أصحابه الغر الميامين وعن آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين وعن التابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وأنا معهم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات اللهم فرج هموم المهمومين ونفس كروب المكروبين وارفع الغم عن المغمومين وارفع الظلم عن المظلومين واحقن دماءنا ودماء المسلمين اللهم انصر إخواننا المرابطين في المسجد الأقصى اللهم رده إلينا في العاجل القريب يا رب العالمين اللهم ردنا إليك وإلى دينك ردا جميلا وتب علينا من جميع ذنوبنا توبة نصوحة اللهم أحسن ختامنا أجمعين اللهم أحسن ختامنا أجمعين وأحسن عاقبتنا في الأمور كلها يا رب العالمين والقنا وأنت راض عنا يا أرحم الراحمين ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظ